Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Farm Focus. I'm Jim Finn. Now, later on in the programme, I will be talking to Pat Sweeney, who is out there in Doolin, and Pat has a tourism business, and he is also a member of the local branch of the IFA in Doolin. But my first guest this morning is Wendy Condon from Chagas, and Wendy is with me to talk about horses. Good morning, Wendy, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim, and thanks for having me.
Recently on RTE News, there was a story of Thomas and Rusty, and Wendy has concerns with regard to the fostering of foals.
Indeed, I thought, look, it might be an interesting one just to have a little bit of conversation about this morning, Jim.
Yeah. What are the possible reasons that can result in a foal being orphaned?
Oh, look, breeders really dread finding themselves in this scenario after an 11-month wait, but it happens. The most common reasons, you can have a situation where the mare herself unfortunately dies, or she has rejected her foal, having become aggressive towards the foal. You could have a scenario, of course, where the mare just doesn't have enough milk to sustain her foal or nourish her foal. The other potential possibles are that she could have an illness, she could have a really bad laminitis or a really bad colic, or she might have had a bad time with a uterine hemorrhage. There's lots and lots of possible reasons, you know.
You know, in the unfortunate incidents where a foal is orphaned, what options are available to feed them and rear the foal?
Well, I suppose the first protocol would be really that a foal can be fed using a foster mare. Of course, the most usual option would be an equine foster mare. In the case of Thomas that you referred to over in Wexford, he found his nourishment from what we would say a less than usual resource, that being a Frisian cow called Rusty. The other option then would be a foal can be temporarily or permanently hand-raised using milk replacers. But this really is a huge time commitment on the behalf of those who are going to do feeding. It's an arduous undertaking.
Right. And is it something that happens often?
Look, you know, like anything, it wouldn't be the most regular, but it can happen for sure.
Yeah, because I would imagine it might be very difficult to find, you know, an equine foster mother.
Yeah, look, there are a couple of individuals who specialise in supplying such mares in the country, and they do that at a fee, and they are there. There is, of course, also the other option that there are breeders who lose foals, you know. There are others out there who might be willing to provide a mare on loan for the benefit of their own mare as well. You know, so there is that also.
Then getting to colostrum, we know, I suppose, every farmer knows how important colostrum is and the consumption of it, early on anyway, as far as building up immunity. I presume it's the same in the equine family.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really critical. All foals are born without any immunity at all, so the immunity they get is from ingestion of that colostrum. And they can only actually absorb that colostrum effectively in the first 12 hours of life, even though some will say up to 24 hours. But, you know, 85% of antibody transfer is in the first 6 to 8 hours of life when they're ingesting it across their digestive tract. And as time goes on, that transfer becomes less effective. You know, breeders can actually prepare themselves for the emergency scenario whereby, you know, the mare's colostrum quality is not good enough or not available. And of course, if a mare is running off milk early, you know, collect it, store it, get it in the freezer. You can keep colostrum in the freezer for up to 2 years. And it's so important then on the other side of it when you're defrosting to not do that defrosting using a microwave, because that's just going to kill all the goodness, all the antibodies will be destroyed doing that. And of course then if you have a scenario where you have a mare that she has lost her foal or a stillborn foal, you could milk her off, you know. You can take milk off her every 2 hours for the first maybe 6, 8, even 10 hours, you know, after she's lost that foal. That can be done. Even though you don't like thinking about that, but it can be done. A mare with a good milk supply that's supporting her own foal, of course, she could also donate maybe 250, 500 mils after her own foal has nursed. So get it stored, bank it in.
Okay, very important. Then how much colostrum is needed?
Well, if we're talking the orphans here, you know, the recommendation would be 3 to 4 feeds in the first 8 hours of life. So they should get 2 litres of colostrum into them. If, of course, you have a scenario where a foal won't or for whatever reason can't nurse, then stomach tubing is an option by the vet, or the vet can also give an intravenous plasma if necessary. So there are other options as well. But, you know, you can check the IgG or the antibody status of colostrum. An instrument that's called a refractometer can be used for this. They're relatively inexpensive to acquire and they're very easy to use. The other option is that you can get the vet out and have a blood sample taken off the foal before they're 12 hours of age, and they can actually check the IgG status or the antibody transfer of the foal through that blood sample. So, you know, that's really important to know what the status is. There are, of course, a number of commercial colostrum substitutes that could be used, and your vet can recommend from those if you have no other source available to you. Bovine colostrum, although it's well tolerated by foals, the immunity is short-lived, so it wouldn't be the ideal solution.
So the ideal solution then is to try to find a nurse mare or a foster mare for the foal.
Yeah, once your colostrum is taken care of, that's the first box to tick. You know, some sort of milk substitute then needs to be provided. So, you know, it also needs to be provided on a very frequent basis for the first weeks of life. And this could mean, you know, you're on a feeding schedule of once every 1 or 2 hours in the first week. So the lowest maintenance way to feed is certainly to find a mare that's going to act as a foster mother. And like we said, you know, there's a couple of options to getting a mare. But the process itself, the transfer of the foal onto the mare, it is a skill all of itself. It's not without risks, risks to the foal and risks to the humans involved when it's not, you know, going in the way it needs to. So it needs to be done by people who know what they're doing. It's not always successful, and you know, certainly this is what proved to be the case with Thomas. There were actually 2 attempts made to foster him onto mares before he found his less than usual resource, you know.
If you can't find then a foster mare, or as you said there, sometimes they don't accept each other, what do you do then?
Well, the option then is the bottle or the bucket, you know. But the unfortunate bit with this is that it can result in a foal that's more socialised to humans than to horses, you know. So it's really important, I would say, not to spoil orphans and to make sure to expose them to other horses. They really need to experience that discipline that comes from other horses and the socialisation experience of equines, you know. So rear them with another pony or a horse if possible. Because orphan behaviour problems, they can be an issue, and they are reduced if every attempt is made to treat them as a horse and not as a pet, and they shouldn't be, you know, over mollied and over coddled in that sense, you know.
Okay, and we started off talking there about Thomas and the article on RTE News. If all other fails, you know, is the cow or a goat milk, can they be considered as an alternative?
Well, I put it this way, neither is an ideal solution, but both have about twice the fat of mare's milk and half as much sugar. They're similar in their protein and their mineral content, though we would say that mineral content of mare's milk would in fact be lower. Because their fat, though, is highly digestible, they can be used for foals. But if we take the cow's milk as a first example, if that's all that's available as a substitute, the advice would normally be to use a 2% variety and to add a teaspoon of honey per half litre when feeding. So cow's milk tends to cause diarrhoea in foals when it's fed whole. So Thomas really is displaying a sturdy digestive system, in fairness to him. In some ways, goat's milk is a better solution than cow's, and it's more usually tolerated unaltered by foals.
for
and
what?
Then, of course, if you look to the commercial products that are out there, you know, the situation there can be sometimes that the mix can be too concentrated. So there's a bit of experimentation sometimes needed there as well, you know, to get the mix right, the concentration right.
Okay. And finally, Wendy, your key message to anybody who finds themselves with an orphan foal?
Yeah, look, you know, first port of call, foal needs to be able to stand, needs to have a suck reflex and nursed within the first 2 to 3 hours of birth. They need to be monitored for normal behaviour signs and extra vigilance with these orphans than even over a normal foal. Be 100% certain they have had their antibody intake, their colostral intake, have it checked, have the quality of it checked or the quality of the transfer checked. Whatever way you are feeding, ensure the foal is feeding well, so whether that's a foster or a replacement milk.
Okay, well, for this morning we leave it there. Wendy, thank you ever so much for all that very interesting information. Listeners, Wendy has asked me to say to you that there is currently a Chagas Equine and Biodiversity Photo Competition running. The prize money is €500, and you can log on to www.chagas.ie Equine, EQUINECOMP, for all the details. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Pat Sweeney out there in Doolin. He is the secretary of the IFA branch in Doolin. We're going to talk about three things in particular. Good morning, Pat, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim.
Good to have you back on again, Pat. We're beginning to see a bit of light at the end of the tunnel as far as COVID-19 is concerned. One of the things that's going to happen in the next few weeks is the opening of the cattle marts again.
Great. Yeah, I think that's great news for a lot of the elderly farmers that I've been meeting around the area here that have had trouble getting someone to go online for them. And It's like it has opened up a new world from, again, to hear that the marts are going to open up for the ringside there for the 17th of May there, onwards there. The old generation are very delighted to hear that, and that's a great plus for sure. Now, not that the old system wasn't working. The old system, or the new system that they put in place there for the last 2 years there, was actually a very good system, and I'd be hoping that that system will stay in place and you'll still have the farmers and the buyers around the ring.
Yeah, of course, there's one element of the elderly people going to the cattle marts, and that is the social element of it, Pat, isn't it?
Well, that's for sure. Like the social element, they go to the mart, they'll look at the cattle, but they also, they'll meet friends. They're friends met for life there, going back 20 and 30 and 40 years going to the mart in Innes here, and entrepreneur here as well. Like that's a big thing for farmers. In the community is the social aspect of it as well, Jim.
And most of the marts, they have food there as well, and they sit down and they have the dinner, and again, that's another place where they can interact with their friends.
Because, Jim, here we have an Innes here, we have a fantastic mart in Innes here. As you said, there's a lovely restaurant there, you can have your breakfast, dinner or supper there, and if the farmers feel a will, which I know they will by the 17th, you can go and get your hair cut there as well.
Right, and by God, I can tell you one thing now, Pat. There's a lot of us in badly need of a haircut at this stage.
Well, that's for sure, Jim.
And it isn't all the old fellas that need it either. It's some of the young fellas, Pat, need to have a haircut as well. Okay, so that's very welcome to your members anyway, and to all the farmers in County Clare that the marts are opening on the 17th and onwards. Then, I suppose, another issue that has come to light again, particularly over the past year and a half, and that is rural broadband.
It is. Rural broadband is a serious issue in our area here, in Doolin here. I can only speak about the Doolin area here. Especially now, Jim, where a lot of the workers can work from home now, which is fantastic. With a mother that would have maybe two or three young kids around the place, I've been listening to lots of stories about this happening and a total new way of life completely. But unfortunately, which I know it's a serious problem all over Ireland, I stood down at Hotel Doolin about 5 or 6 years ago. I could be out in a year or two on this. And Alex White was the minister in charge at the time. I don't know what ministry he had, but he came to Doolin Hotel and I was down there representing the IFA in Doolin. And we launched the rural broadband package in Hotel Doolin there about 5 or 6 years ago. And I was over the moon, so delighted to be part of all this. And Jim, I stand here now in my house here. I run a bed and breakfast here. I have a walking business on the cliffs of Moher here. And I'm farming as well. And since then, I'm 7 poles away from rural broadband. That is my position here at the moment to where we stand now. And for local people trying to work from home, it's virtually impossible.
The question I wanted to ask you, is there any broadband in the village?
Oh, God, there is broadband in the village of Doolin, yeah. There is there. And I'd say, Jim, for about maybe a 2 kilometre radius around the village of Doolin,
yeah,
there's broadband. But as I say, I'm about 3 kilometres out of Doolin, and the broadband is over the road. It's 7 poles away from me.
Right.
And I don't think I'll be getting it anytime soon.
So, in other words, you're on an artery running away from the main road where the broadband is, and that roughly works out as 7 poles from the road. And definitely, yeah, you're over 500 metres away from where the fibre is running, so you're not able to get it. So it is very important, yeah, that people
I can understand is that the road I'm on is the main road to the Cliffs of Moher. It's not a by road. It's not a side road.
Oh,
it's the main road where 1.5 million filters hopefully will be coming next year.
Oh, well.
I'm on the main road here, and I can't understand how all the houses we move along this road here, all the businesses.
Yeah.
I can't understand how rural broadband cannot be connected along this main road here.
Oh, okay. That's a big issue for you and for all the people like yourself who are running a tourism business, whether that's the B&B or whether it is the actual walking itself. And that's very important as well. So that's something that needs to be tackled. I'm quite sure that the IFA in the county and the county executive, they are, agitating the very same as yourself and for people in your position and farmers as well, because every farmer in Clare now needs to have good broadband to be able to interact with the department and with Bandon to register any animals that are born on the farm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and not to talk about what we're after going through with all the children at home from school, and they're trying to have their schooling at home because where broadband was very important, particularly for children going to secondary school.
Definitely, it's very hard to have your kids at home for home schooling and you have no broadband.
Coming on to tourism then, you're involved in it yourself, Pat. Every second house in Doolin is involved in tourism. So what has been happening there? Are they all getting ready for the new season when it'll open, I presume, early in June?
Yeah, well, we're looking at a date in June for kick-off.
Yeah.
I'm delighted to see that all the work going on in the 2 hotels in Doolin here and the 3 pubs in Doolin, that they're all doing up their outside areas for outside dining. And it's great to see this activity going on in the village here. And, hopefully that we can get the B&Bs opened up and the Airbnbs and, bring the people back into this fantastic area we have here in Doolin here. And what I miss most, I suppose, is Doolin here, our hearts and souls, the music. I'm longing to go down to the pubs in Doolin there just listen to a good session of music. And, we hope for that to happen as well. But also, as I was saying today, Jim, something that caught my eye there while I was out driving there one Sunday there was, just outside the Hinge there, I spotted a local farmer there, I think they're the Clares outside the Hinge, where they're developing a plot of ground there, putting in pods, which I think is a fantastic idea for a farmer to kind of diversify into agro-tourism.
Right, of course, it's something that has happened in other parts of the country. So, pods where people can, I think they call it glamping, don't they? That's the technical term they have for it. And glamping is just another, add-on to the various methods that we have for looking after our tourists, for whether it is for a night or whether it is for a week or 10 days.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's great to see that a bit of life coming back into the area here.
Yeah.
You know, we have missed all this for now. And, you know, we're also very lucky there, something I pick up on as well there, over the winter months there, that it was great to see the film that was on there about the Leinster mother.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah.
And what was fantastic about that, okay, the film was one thing, the episode, but this lovely scenery, the lovely scenery of Blackhead and Fanor and into Doolin here around Lahinch, just to highlight for the Irish, I suppose, to see it, this lovely area here. And then about 2 weeks ago, we had been in Gleeson doing a lovely article on the Bourne region as well.
Yeah, you have it.
The Bourne is only on our back door here.
Yeah,
that was fantastic for our area here to be shown in that light.
Right, yo. Well, now, Pat, we're going to have to leave it for this week anyway. Look, thanks very much for joining me this morning. That listener was Pat Sweeney, who has a little tourism business out there in Doolin, talking about the things that are needed to be delivered in rural Ireland and particularly in rural Clare.
Thank you, Jim.
Listeners, before I sign off this morning, I want to congratulate Pat Howley from Ballytaig on becoming a grandfather. And this is a message from his neighbour, Mick Lacey, who is a really good friend of mine. So congratulations, Pat. That, listeners, is Farm Focus for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you will join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock. And after that, Mike Gardner presents Country Corner.